Students of Stanford University have vowed to continue weeks-long protest until the U.S. university divests from Israel and condemns the Zionist regime's war crimes in Gaza and occupied territories. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Middle East Eye wrote, since the war erupted, students have reported being abused by staff who have accused them of anti-Semitism and support for terrorism, among other slurs. Organizers of the sit-in said that since they launched their protest, administrators have only interacted with them on one occasion and have refused to commit to anything other than provide resources for Palestinian students. Earlier this week, Stanford administrators said they would establish two groups aimed at combating hatred and providing community members with support. The first is a new subcommittee designed to combat anti-Semitism, while the other would be a newly established committee for Muslim, Arab, and Palestinian communities that would be expected to address Islamophobia on the campus. The initiative came more than a week after Abdul Wahab Omira, an Arab student at Stanford, was hit by a car in what is being described as a hate crime. A preliminary investigation by the Santa Clara County Sheriff's Office described it as a hate crime. The sheriff's office told Middle East Eye that the investigation was still ongoing, adding there were no further updates at this time. Stanford University's media office did not reply to Middle East Eye's request for comment. Across the U.S., there has been a groundswell of support for Palestinians living under Israeli occupation, with student bodies issuing statements and engaging in several protest actions, much to the chagrin of university administrators, the Biden administration, and the Zionist regime's government. Students who have espoused pro-Palestine positions or called for a ceasefire have been routinely described by administrators or pro-Israel students as terror sympathizers. Several students have lost job opportunities or have had their identities plastered on blacklists on mobile LED screens outside the campuses and online forums like the Canary Mission, which targets activists who speak out on the Zionist regime's crimes. These actions have followed well-documented pressure exerted by billionaire donors and politicians to quell sentiment interpreted as anti-Israel. Students noted that there has been a concerted effort to conflate pro-Palestinian advocacy with anti-Semitism. This has helped create an environment in which university authorities have been accused of using anti-Semitism to discredit pro-Palestinian activism on campuses and inevitably characterize their advocacy as support for terrorism. In Florida, the state university system was recently told to ban Students of Justice in Palestine, SJP, chapters across campuses in the state on the basis that the students were providing harmful support for terrorist groups, as they claimed. At Columbia University in New York City, both the SJP and the local Jewish Voice for Peace chapter were suspended until the end of the semester. At a rally earlier this week at Columbia, one Jewish student who addressed protesters at the school said that the university's decision to suspend the JVP, the only Jewish anti-Zionist group on campus, sent a chilling message to students that Judaism and the State of Israel was one and the same. Columbia University did not reply to Middle East Eye's request for comment. One Palestinian student at Stanford, who also requested anonymity, said that he found himself oscillating between feelings of horror at the images from Gaza on his phone and resentment towards the university administration for their refusal to condemn the Zionist regime. On top of that, he said he was often distressed over the safety of his friends and colleagues who face being doxxed and harassed for speaking up for Palestine or the potential harm of death threats. The Palestinian student said, "I received a threatening phone call saying that they know where I live. So yes, being on campus has been sickening, but what has been helpful is the massive community support," the student said, alluding to the small village of tents and the community sitting behind him. Where the lack of institutional support for Palestinians has failed, the student said that the sit-in had provided much-needed solidarity. He said, "In addition to this sit-in being a form of protest, it is a community. I come here to drink tea and coffee and talk to people. They know that I am going through, and they allow me to be myself."
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
As the world is watching a genocide unfolding in the Gaza Strip, another massacre is taking place against the Palestinian people in the occupied West Bank. Since the Israeli offensive began on the Gaza Strip on October 7, the violence against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank has also escalated. Israeli forces have killed dozens of Palestinians there. The Israelis have cut off Palestinian villages and cities from one another by closures and settler attacks. That has resulted in a near standstill of commercial activities of Palestinians and their movements. Furthermore, armed settlers backed by regime troops have blocked entrances to most Palestinian villages, towns, and cities through military checkpoints, earth mounds, cement blocks, and iron gates. During the current offensive, the rate of violence practiced by settlers against Palestinians has escalated. That includes preventing them from accessing their lands, attacking them while picking olives, expelling them from their fields, and harassing Palestinians moving on roads.
We used to have problems with the settlers, but after the war in Gaza, they want to kill all of us.
After the war, the situation changed. They started attacking our houses. They didn't used to come to our houses. They started attacking them and the people inside them.
Preventing access to water and food needs, especially in the hurting communities, is done by Israel with the aim of displacing the Palestinian communities in those areas.
We have the same occupation, and we are the same people. Geography does not, you know, divide people. We are just the same. We are all targets. Whenever you are a Palestinian, you are a terrorist, and you should be killed. People are killed for no reason and for nothing. So, you know, this is complete genocide. This is complete war crimes that should be stopped immediately, right now.
Just days ago, Jordan warned against Israel's plans to displace Palestinians living in the occupied West Bank to the Arab Kingdom, saying that Amman would consider the move, quote, a declaration of war. The warning refers to a decades-old plan dating back to before the creation of Israel in 1948. This transfer plan, originally formulated by Zionist militias operating in Palestine and then endorsed by the regime after its creation, calls for mass expulsion of Palestinians to Egypt's Sinai Desert. After Israel's occupation of the West Bank in 1967, the idea of pushing Palestinians towards Jordan became included in the transfer plan.
There's also been a sharp increase in settler violence and takeover of land across the West Bank. Since 7 October, nearly 1,000 Palestinians from at least 15 herding communities have been forced from their homes. In the context of the coercive environment they live in, the displacement of these communities may amount to the forcible transfer of a population, which is a grave breach of the Fourth Geneva Convention.
Before the start of Israel's genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, the occupied West Bank was already witnessing the deadliest year on record for Palestinians. The worsening violence in the West Bank has fueled concerns that the Palestinian territory could become a third front in a wider war, in addition to the regime's northern separation line, where clashes with Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah have taken place. Over the past 4 weeks, Israeli forces have raided Palestinian territories in the occupied West Bank in a bid to quell a rising resistance against the regime there. The Jenin refugee camp in the West Bank has now turned into a hotbed for resistance against Israel. The Jenin camp, with its high population density, narrow space, and adjacent homes, is very similar to the Gaza Strip. Hundreds of Palestinian fighters present a significant challenge to Israel's aim of destroying the military and political capabilities of resistance groups there. Israeli attacks on Jenin and Tulkarm are aimed at ending the resistance in the northern occupied West Bank so that it does not extend to the other cities. The regime has destroyed roads leading to vital institutions and centers that citizens need in their daily lives in those areas. The attacks on the northern West Bank are aimed at ensuring any future arrangements within Israel's vision of expanding settlements. But the October 7th resistance operation against the Israeli regime has proven that the regime cannot protect settlers.
The Israeli occupation policy today is that you need to accept being killed by the Israeli soldiers and the Israeli settlers without speaking. It is a gag order. They don't want the victim to speak up. They don't want the victim to condemn their murder of the victim itself. So that is the policy of the Israeli occupation, colonial, dictator regime.
The Israeli carnage in the Gaza Strip continues to rack up deaths, especially women and children. But Israel is also impacted by its genocidal war when it comes to its international standing, putting into doubt its legitimacy. Ireland's opposition party has strongly blasted the regime, accusing it of committing barbaric and cowardly war crimes.
The world sees Israeli actions for what they are: barbaric, hateful, cowardly war crimes.
Strong words from the leader of Ireland's opposition party. The Brazilian president relayed his disgust on Israeli crimes when it came to hospitals being targeted.
I'd never heard of children being the preferred victims of a war. The number of women and children who have already died and the number of children who have gone missing is unheard of in any other war.
Hospitals have become a focal point of the war. The Israeli military shared video and photographs showing what it said were weapons stored by Hamas in the basement of a children's hospital in Gaza, where it also said hostages appear to have been held.
And we also found signs that indicate that Hamas held hostages here. This is currently under our investigation, but we also have intelligence that verifies it.
Currently, under our investigation, is another way of Israel saying that it is not sure. At the same time, it is trying to portray itself as a good Samaritan by delivering fuel to the hospitals. But this amount of fuel is just a drop in the bucket, way too short of what hospitals need. Yet Israel got a boost on its war efforts when the U.S. President Joe Biden said that hospitals in the Gaza Strip must be protected.
Well, I have not been reluctant in expressing my concerns what's going on. And it's my hope and expectation that there will be less intrusive action relative to the hospital.
Biden said he was hoping for less intrusive action by Israel. That was another way of saying that he supported Israel's military operation against the hospitals. The more Israel's genocidal war in the Gaza Strip continues, the more it will come at a cost for Israel and its supporters. The Israeli foreign minister gave his idea of a timeline of when the war may end. He said that Israel has between 2 and 3 weeks left before international pressure intensifies.
Ceasefire now!
Before it intensifies? By many accounts, that threshold has been passed already, evident through the mass worldwide protests. But the real question remains, what are Israel's plans for Palestinians? A host of Israeli officials have made statements recently which reveal what those plans may be. Israeli Minister Smotrich said on X that he supports voluntary migration of Palestinians in Gaza as the right humanitarian solution. Danny Danon, former ambassador to the UN, and Ram Bin Barak, former deputy director of the Mossad, published a commentary in the Wall Street Journal suggesting moving some people of Gaza to nations that will accept them. And the former director of Israel's spy agency, Shin Bet, who is currently serving as the Minister of Agriculture, said that Tel Aviv was rolling out a Nakba in the Gaza Strip. Let's not forget, Israel has denied that a Nakba ever took place. Furthermore, in 2011, Israel enacted a Nakba law that authorized the withdrawal of state funds from organizations that discussed the Nakba.
An Israeli minister has claimed that dropping a nuclear bomb on the blockaded Gaza Strip is an option. The Israeli Heritage Minister Eliyahu made the remarks in an interview with Radio Kol Barama. Eliyahu also insisted that allowing any humanitarian aid into Gaza was wrong, claiming there is no such thing as uninvolved civilians in Gaza, calling the innocent civilian population in Gaza Nazis. Following the remarks, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu suspended the minister from cabinet meetings. Hamas resistance movement, however, pointed out that Eliyahu's remarks were reflective of the Netanyahu regime's genocidal mindset.
The statement by what is called the Israeli Heritage Minister in the Zionist cabinet that throwing a nuclear weapon on the Gaza Strip is one of the solutions didn't come out of nowhere, but it is an expression on the level of decadence, Nazism, and sadism that takes place in the minds of the cabinet of the occupying entity that is based on murder and genocide.
The remarks also drew condemnation from around the Arab world, and Iran called for a swift international response. The United Nations Security Council and the International Atomic Energy Agency must take immediate and uninterrupted action to disarm this barbaric and apartheid regime. Russia has joined a chorus of condemnation that was sparked over controversial remarks made by an Israeli minister about the regime's openness to a nuclear strike in the Gaza Strip. Maria Zakharova, Russia's foreign ministry spokeswoman, said that the main issue was that Israel appeared to have admitted that it had nuclear weapons. Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and other Arab states have all denounced the comments. Arab League Secretary General Ahmed Abolkheit has said the remarks revealed that Israel possesses nuclear weapons, which is an open secret. He also added that the comments also confirm the truth of the racist view Israelis hold against Palestinians.
Israeli forces raid Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, the largest medical complex in the Strip where thousands have taken shelter. The spokesman for the Ministry of Health in Gaza has said that there are only doctors, patients, and displaced people inside Al-Shifa Hospital. Regime troops entered the hospital's emergency department building while tanks surrounded the medical complex. The Israeli military said it is conducting the operation in a cult-specific area. Hamas resistance movement has said that Israel's leaders and the U.S. presidents were fully responsible for the consequences of the regime's raid on Shifa Hospital. Al-Shifa has been denied urgently needed supplies of medicines and fuel. Fuel shortages threaten the function of generators which run vital equipment like ventilators and dialysis machines. The World Health Organization has described the situation of the hospital as dire and perilous. The hospital's last generator has also run out of fuel, which has led to the death of several premature babies and wounded patients.
I am standing here at the ICU at Al-Shifa Medical Complex. This department is suffering after the shutdown of electricity due to lack of fuel. The health ministry warned about the lack of fuel. These people here were denied life support devices. They may lose their lives because there are no support machines or artificial respiration devices. Around 29 patients are facing this tragedy.
Israel alleges that Hamas has built its headquarters in bunkers and tunnels under the Al-Shifa Hospital, a claim rejected by the Palestinian resistance movement and hospital staff. Shifa Hospital has been one of the main targets of Israeli strikes since the regime began its deadly onslaught on Gaza. The situation remains tense in other hospitals as well.
And you are asking doctors and nurses to move people, knowing that that would kill them. And again, why would you need to move them? A hospital should never be under attack. A hospital is a place, a safe haven. This is agreed under international humanitarian law.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Limelight. Elon Musk, who has projected himself as an advocate of free speech, must stand on the right side of history. The first voices that should be censored are those calling for the genocide of Palestinians, cheering the Zionist regime killing machine as it continues its murderous campaign in the besieged Gaza Strip. We take a look at the World Press and Media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. Elon Musk, the billionaire owner of X, formerly known as Twitter, can be outrageously unpredictable. He has shown it on numerous occasions in recent weeks, cunningly invoking words such as genocide. At risk of stating the obvious, anyone advocating the genocide of any group will be suspended from this platform, the founder of SpaceX and Tesla, who bought X last year, wrote on Saturday. In response, social media users interrogated him and reminded him of many Zionists who have been openly calling for the genocide of Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip on X. If that's true, why didn't you suspend this genocidal Zionist? Asked Jackson Hinkle, a social media influencer who has been fervently tweeting in support of Palestinians in recent weeks. Jackson Hinkle was referring to an ex-user named Yakovolf, who made a deeply provocative post on X. Flatten everything. Spare no school, no children's hospital, no old age home. Delete their entire gene pool off the face of the earth, wrote the Zionist hate monger. Elon Musk had to answer to Jackson Hinkle and other ex-users who replied to his tweet. The ex-boss was echoing what he tweeted earlier on Saturday amid the controversy he generated with another tweet that was deemed anti-Semitic by pro-Israel lobbies in Washington. As I said earlier this week, decolonization from the river to the sea and similar euphemisms necessarily imply genocide, Musk tweeted in a clear attempt to appease the Zionist lobby. Clear calls for extreme violence are against our terms of service and will result in suspension. These tweets came after the European Union, Apple, Disney, IBM, Lionsgate and others announced that they were stopping advertisements on X over Elon Musk's anti-Semitic posts. It came as a rude shock to Elon Musk, as his social media network has reportedly seen a 54% drop in advertising revenue since he took over, as advertisement revenue previously accounted for 90% of the social media giant's total revenue. Earlier this week, Elon Musk endorsed a post by user Breaking Bat that said Jewish communities have been pushing the exact kind of dialectical hatred against whites that they claim to want people to stop using against them. Apart from advertisers running away from Elon Musk, the White House also issued a strongly worded statement, clearly under the pressure of pro-Israel lobby groups in the United States. We condemn this abhorrent promotion of anti-Semitic and racist hatred in the strongest terms, which runs against our core values as Americans, a White House spokesman said on Friday, 17th of November. The European Commission, in a statement on Friday, 17th of November, also announced that it was halting advertisements over the alarming increase in disinformation and hate speech. This is about our advertisement campaigns. For these, we continuously assess and evaluate the media environment for our campaigns in view of our communication objectives, the spokesman said. Stung by the growing criticism, Elon Musk took a step back and warned that pro-Palestine content will be suspended, or in other words, those calling for an end to the Israeli genocide in Gaza will face the axe. While genocide cheerleaders, such as those calling for flattening schools, children's hospitals and age-old homes in the besieged coastal sliver, have their accounts running without any restrictions, those calling for a halt to bloodletting and occupation are going to be suspended by Elon Musk. The first voices that should be censored are those calling for the genocide of Palestinians, cheering the Zionist regime killing machine as it continues its murderous campaign in the besieged Gaza Strip. Elon Musk, who has projected himself as an advocate of free speech, must stand on the right side of history. The website Cradle has also covered the same story and tells us more. US technology giant Meta the conglomerate behind Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, on 13th of October announced it is taking steps to remove praise and substantive support of Palestinian resistance factions fighting against the Israeli army on the Gaza border. The decision by the technology giant comes on the heels of a pressure campaign launched by the European Commission to remove illegal and harmful content to comply with its Digital Services Act. Meta's compliance contrasts with that of X, formerly known as Twitter, as the company asked Brussels for more information of violations on its site. This resulted in an investigation being launched into X, formerly known as Twitter. This week, European Union officials sent a letter to ex-owner Elon Musk, warning that if an investigation finds the company had failed to meet its legal obligations in connection with content about the Israeli-Palestinian war, it could face steep penalties, including billions in fines, according to a CNN report.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy that we have Ali Nasser here, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah, brothers from Sevier International School. So, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Welcome. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan, how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Good. We all are fine. Hope you are fine, inshallah. Let's get started. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 60 of Surah Al-An'am on page 135. Brothers and sisters, turn to page 135, Ayah 60 of Surah Al-An'am. Let's everyone listen to the recitation and then inshallah we will continue.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وهو الذي يتوفاكم بالليل ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار ثم يبعثكم فيه ليقضى أجل مسمى ثم إليه مرجعكم ثم ينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون.
Super. Nice recitation. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. First and foremost, let's see what does Allah Almighty say in this ayah. And then inshallah we'll move on to the tajweed rules and recitation, the same as our previous sessions. Ali Nasir, Hassan and Hussein, do you know about soul?
Yes.
Human being. We have body and we have?
Soul.
Soul. Okay. So, is the reality of human being with the body or with the soul?
Soul.
With the soul. Okay. All right, good. In this ayah, Allah Almighty talks about this and gives us beautiful things about our soul, about our reality. Let's see, okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Almighty says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. It is he means Allah. It is Allah who takes your souls by night. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. And he knows what you do by day. ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ. And then he reanimates you there and يَبْعَثُكُمْ resurrect you. Again, like gives your soul back, okay, to your body. Or sends your soul back to your body. Kind of this way. لِيُقْضَى أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّنٌ. So that a specified term may be completed. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. Then to him will be your return. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُكُمْ. Whereat he will inform you بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Concerning what you used to do. Hassan, when you sleep, huh?
Yes.
In bed.
Yes.
So the whole night you're in your bed?
Well, I'm sleeping, yes.
Are you sure? I didn't ask, what about you?
My body is in my bed, but the soul.
All right, I wanted to know this, okay. Look, our body is in the bed, okay, in bed. But are we in bed? Our soul?
No.
We go thousands of places. We go here in this continent, Europe, Australia, America, Africa. We go different places. We go play football. We go score goals. We hold the trophies. We go and study. We go to university. We go to Holy Shrine. We go thousands of places. Allah says what? وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. He's the one who takes your soul out of your body when you are asleep at night. Okay? Got it?
Yes.
So it means that this is the reason we can prove, okay, one of the reasons we can prove our soul. That soul exists. There are a lot of people who don't believe in soul. Okay? Materialistic. They only believe like we have the body, that's it. The body has a system, okay? And when body dies, the system dies, and you're over. But Muslims don't believe this way. We believe that the reality is the soul, and we are kind of put in this body, okay? And this we are running. Actually, the soul is running our body. So look, if I'm moving my hand, it's not the body who moves, okay? It's my soul that moves my body. Let me give you a clear example. I learned it from a scholar, from Sheikh Qaraati. He's a great scholar. Look, he says, like, our body and soul is like a car with a driver. Car and driver. So whenever the driver is on the car and he's driving, he accelerates, the car moves. He push the brakes, the car stops. Our soul is like that, okay? Like the driver. So wherever the soul intends to go, the body moves that way, that direction. And whenever the soul's like kind of intends to stop, the body stops. Like when we sleep, we park the car, okay? We park our body and we get out of the car and we go here and then we do our stuff, okay? Like that, for example, when the driver goes and parks the car, he comes out of the car, yes? That way, look, Allah says, this was just an example to make it clear. Allah says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. It's Allah Almighty who takes your soul, okay, from your body during the night. And وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. And he knows what you do during the day. Look, one of the other messages that we can understand from this ayah is this, that nahar or day is for working. And night is for relaxation, for sleeping, to get comfortable, okay?
Yes.
To take away your, if you are tired, exhausted, go take a nap, take a sleep, okay? Take time to sleep and get rest. so that you get ready to work tomorrow. All right? So, but sometimes, unfortunately, some of the people, they do just the opposite, okay? They stay late, okay? They stay up late during the night, and this kind of brings some kind of changes to their body system, and actually this is harmful. Science has proven that you should have enough sleep during the night.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, time to mention some tajweed points and practice the recitation. And we will start that by reciting a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. Wa huwa alladhi يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. There are some letters that you should pay attention to their pronunciation. هُو, هُوَ, هَا. Next one.
ذَال.
ذَال, good job.
عَيْن.
عَيْن, يَعْلَمُ.
حَا.
حَا, جَرَحْتُمْ.
ثَا.
ثَا, ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ, good job.
ضَاد.
ضَاد, لِيُقْضَى. Mm-hmm. And حَمْزَة.
Yes.
ثم إليه ليقضى أجل. A and A are different. So, yeah, these are the letters. You really need to pay attention to them, pronounce them correctly to have a beautiful recitation and correct recitation. وهو الذي يتوفاكم. Make sure the heavy sounds and light sounds. Take care, okay? يتوفاكم. فاكم, no. وهو الذي يتوفاكم. This becomes Persian reading. So we are reading Arabic way. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ. So, يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ, if you see, it ends with a meme, which is sakin. يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ. The next word starts with ba. I remember we had a rule for meme sakin. If meme sakin is followed by the letter ba, you...
Ikhfa.
Ah, apply hide the rule ikhfa. Hide the sound of me. How do you do that?
يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ.
Ahsan, hide the sound of me. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. Alright? So this is the rule of mim sakin. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْ. جَرَحْ, heavy sound. جَرَحْتُمْ. Again, mim sakin plus ba. جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. Noon, مُشَدَّد. How do you read it? جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. Apply the both rules.
From the first of it?
Yeah, yeah. No. Yeah. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. Stop at نهار.
Okay. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ.
أحسنتم. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. So, بِالنَّهَارِ ثُمَّ مِمْ مُشَدَّد. Read that, Hassan. ثُمَّ. How do you extend the sound?
ثُمَّ.
أحسنتم. ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ. ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ. Ba has an echoing sound. يَبْعَثُكُمْ. يَا قَلْقَلَ. يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ لِيُقْعَ. لِيُقْضَى, again قَلْقَلَ here, echoing sound. لِيُقْضَى أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى. Tanween will be changed to alif. مُسَمَّى. Hassan, there is a sila stopping sign. What does that say?
The sila tells us that it's better to continue.
Better to continue, but it still can stop. Good job. Yes. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. مَرْجِعُكُمْ. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا, again, ميم ساكين plus ba, إخفاء, hiding sound of ميم. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ. كنتم again hide the sound of noon here, same as hiding meme sound. تعملون. Ready now to repeat after me?
Yes.
Listen to the recitation and repeat. Brothers and sisters, let's practice. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وهو الذي يتوفاكم بالليل ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار.
وهو الذي يتوفاكم بالليل ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار.
ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار ثم يبعثكم فيه ليقضى أجل مسمى.
ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار ثم يبعثكم فيه ليقضى أجل مسمى
ثم إليه مرجعكم ثم ينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون.
ثم إليه مرجعكم ثم ينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Allah bless you, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks, Hassan Hussein Ali Nasser. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the next coming sessions. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thanks to IRB English Radio, Sevilla International Schools for cooperations. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Minutes. Years of civil conflict, complicated with the ongoing proxy war between NATO and Russia, have thrown Ukraine into an economic disaster with unpleasant consequences. War-stricken women from poor backgrounds with their men fighting on the front lines are being lured by the surrogate baby industry, a booming business in Ukraine. The insatiable thirst for rentable wombs in Ukraine has become a cause for concern as sporadic reports on the surrogate mothers have thrown light on a medical underworld infested with abuse and corruption. Long before engaging in war with Russia, Ukraine was known as a hunting ground for agencies seeking to prey on desperate women as a hub of prostitution, a lucrative business at the expense of poor Ukrainian girls and women. Likewise, over the past decade, Ukraine has become a breeding ground for surrogacy, again with poor women bearing the brunt. Promoted by celebrities like Kim Kardashian, Elton John, and Paris Hilton, this reproductive process was worth an estimated $14 billion in 2022, according to the research company Global Market Insights. With the restriction of surrogacy markets in Thailand and Nepal in 2015 and in India in 2019, global demand for surrogacy was channeled to Ukraine, where the process is less expensive and less regulated. Controlling one-fourth of the global market, Ukraine's Biotechcom Center for Reproduction is by far the biggest player in the international surrogacy market. While the center boasts that the company has given the joy of parenthood to thousands of couples around the world, its true history and operations reveal a tragic pattern of abuse, secrecy, malpractice, and even allegations of human trafficking. A 2020 report published in Princeton's Journal of Public and International Affairs further underscored the foreign exploitation driving Ukraine's surrogacy boom, asserting, "While proponents claim that women freely choose to become surrogates, vulnerable women are often manipulated through the presentation of choice. Potential surrogates are forced to choose between providing for their families through a practice that may violate their moral beliefs or forfeiting a financial opportunity to provide for their families." Most Ukrainians do not agree with the surrogacy business and that there is a stigma attached to women who choose to do it. A Ukrainian woman who sold her womb to foreigners said to The Guardian, "The only reason why I agreed to do this is just for the financial benefits. Plus, since my husband left for the front line, I need a way to support my other four children." Surprisingly enough, Biotechcom's medical director, Ihor Pachanoa, openly admitted to the Spanish investigative magazine La Maria that his company targets women from poor areas. In the words of Pachanoa, "We're looking for women in the former Soviet republics because logically the women have to be from poorer places than our clients." Despite Biotechcom's promotional materials flaunting its state-of-the-art facilities and luxury accommodations for surrogate mothers, multiple reports indicate its residential centers are more like a prison than a hotel. There are allegations of Biotechcom's lack of proper care for the medical needs and complications of women who bear the babies. These cases, however, are not pursued in Ukraine's chaotic legal system. The requirements to use a surrogate in Ukraine are simple. A heterosexual couple must be married, show they are medically unable to have children, and provide at least half of the child's genetic link via sperm or embryo. On average, surrogacy with Biotechcom costs between $40,000 and $50,000, with an all-inclusive VIP package going for $71,000. The German national daily newspaper Welt obtained a large number of Biotexcom documents from 2014 to 2017 showing just how little the surrogates were paid. Each contract varied, but on average, surrogates were paid $9,000 to $14,000 for carrying a child to birth. Biotexcom often charges clients five times that amount. The Ukrainian center is also no stranger to controversy. The most shocking one was that it forged documents and faked DNA tests to allow children born in Ukraine to be sold to parents who were not genetically related to them. In 2011, Biotexcom supplied a child without a confirmed DNA connection to an Italian couple in Brescia. At the same time, numerous women who have been surrogate mothers have raised dozens of allegations, including claims that Biotexcom had failed to pay them or to compensate them for loss of a pregnancy or to cover the cost of medical complications that arose during the surrogacy. Biotexcom has also been accused of tax evasion charges linked to tens of millions of funds hidden via offshore companies registered in countries such as Latvia, Cyprus, and the Czech Republic. In May 2022, the European Parliament condemned surrogacy and called for binding measures to protect women and children in Ukraine. But in reality, little has been done to empower surrogates, protect the children, or regulate the industry. Ukraine seems to have a carte blanche in violating human rights as long as the country acts as a puppet in the hands of the Western powers.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines this hour: Israel presses ahead with its airstrikes in the Gaza Strip after agreeing to a temporary